Good morning. Today I'm going to talk about a portion of my dissertation work, identifying robust microsatellite markers for fiber length. So numerous QTL mapping studies have been conducted to elucidate the genetic nature of, or the genetic basis of fiber quality traits. According to a recent publication, over 150 quantitative trait loci have been described for fiber length alone. Yet there's often inconsistency across mapping studies regarding the location and number of QTL discovered. And this is due to differences in experimental design, statistical analysis, as well as QTL by environment and genetic background interactions. Recent advances in QTL mapping methods, though, have allowed the identification of more stable QTL. So the objectives of this research were to assess previously reported microsatellite markers, or SSRs, for fiber length QTL in different genetic backgrounds, and ultimately identify robust and portable markers for fiber length relevant to the Texas A&M breeding program. So we selected three different populations for the study. The first two are upland intraspecific derived populations. They have different pedigrees, but they do share the upland extra long staple trait. And the third population was an interspecific derived cross between an upland cultivar, LA887, and a Gossypium tomentosum muscellinum introgression line. So we grew the populations for 2 years in College Station. In 2013, within each of the populations, approximately 250 F3 individual plants were randomly selected and hand-harvested and sent for high-volume instrument analysis. We also collected young leaf tissue and extracted DNA for genotyping. And then in 2014, a random subset of approximately half of the F3s were randomly chosen and planted as F4 progeny rows. And from those rows, we took bowl samples and sent them for HVI analysis. So to genotype the F3 plants, first the parental lines were screened with 536 SSRs. That were collected from 29 different QTL mapping studies. And of those markers, 223 were polymorphic and used to genotype the F3 plants. So to analyze the genotypic and fiber length data from the F3 plants, we first did single marker analysis. The alleles were scored as either present or absent, and the following model was used to analyze the effect of each allele on fiber length, where fiber length was a function of the main effective population and allele, as well as their interaction. So we selected alleles that had a significant main effect on fiber length, but the interaction between population and allele was not significant. And the goal of this was to select alleles that had the same effect on fiber length across all three populations. And then with those selected alleles, we put them into a stepwise multivariate linear regression to narrow down the predictive markers to a more manageable parsimonious model. And then in the F4 progeny rows, we grouped them based on the F3 genotype and then subjected them to analysis of variance. So these histograms show the distribution of fiber length across the three populations. The two intraspecific upland populations on the top and middle had better fiber length than the interspecific population. And so from the analysis of the F3 plants, we obtained 514 alleles from the 2,223 SSRs. And single marker analysis identified 55 alleles significantly associated with fiber length. And then those were put into the stepwise linear regression. And the resulting model consisted of the population or pedigree, and then these four alleles shown in the table. The table also shows the mean fiber length of the F3s with the allele present and absent, as well as the publication source and genomic location. So we use this data from the F3s to group the F4 progeny rows based on genotype, and then we analyzed differences in fiber length. So this figure showed the mean fiber length of the F4 progeny rows grouped on the number of favorable alleles in the F3. And you can see there's a somewhat linear response to each additional allele, except the mean fiber length of the F4s with 3 versus 4 favorable alleles was not significantly different. So then if you break that down by family, this figure shows the mean fiber length of the F4 progeny rows within each population, and the magnitude of the effect was not the same across for the alleles was not the same across all three populations. In fact, the genotype had no significant effect on the fiber length in the middle upland intraspecific population. So of the 223 SSRs, we identified 4 alleles predictive of fiber length, and all 4 had been mapped to the A genome. And then in the F4 progeny rows, based on the F3 genotype, going from 0 to 4 favorable alleles resulted in an approximately 4.5 millimeter increase in mean fiber length. And then looking at the percent variation explained by genotype and genetic background, when you looked with pedigree in combination with genotype, it explained approximately 56% of the variation in fiber length. But when you broke that down within population, the subsets of alleles only explained from 2 up to 11% of the variation in fiber length. And not surprisingly, the markers originated from mapping studies that utilized a diverse germplasm for mapping, including a meta-analysis of QTL, a random mated recombinant inbred line population derived from 11 upland parents, and an exotic species polycross, which included both Gossypium tomentosum and Mustelinum lines. So I think these results demonstrate that these types of mapping studies are effective at identifying stable QTL. And in conclusion, based on the results of previous mapping studies, we identified robust SSR fiber quality associations across 3 diverse populations in the A&M breeding program. And we did see a differential response to selection between the 3 populations, which is likely attributable to QTL by genetic background effects. And then although we did, were able to identify robust markers for fiber length, they explained only a minor amount of the total phenotypic variation. And with that, I would like to thank Dr. David Fong and Ping Li at the USDA ARS for their help genotyping, Don Jones and Cotton Incorporated for funding, and then all of my committee members, Wayne Smith, Steve Haig, Lori Heinze, and Hongbin Zhang for their advice and help, and then everyone at the Texas A&M Cotton Improvement Lab. And with that, I'll take any questions.
We have a few minutes for questions.
Yeah. I have a question. So based on your experience with these prior QTL, how do you suggest, like, moving forward with previously identified QTL
in a new population.
It seems like you searched for a lot amount of markers and only found, say, 4 in your populations that were useful.
Yeah, so what I found is if I would suggest looking at the genetic background, like the it had, these markers had the largest effect in a population with an Akela background. So the mapping studies that were relevant to that were, had been conducted with Akela type. So I think just paying attention to the genetic background, if that answers the question.
Or do you think there's a way to identify markers that are specific to a population somebody has using the same method? I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that even though it wasn't that useful in explaining the variation, do you think there's potential, or do you think that there's just so much phenotypic variation that they never will be essentially useful for breeders?
So the question is whether or not I feel that these, I guess, studies will be useful in application. I think in the future when costs continue to go down, that if you can look at certain haplotypes that beneficially affect fiber quality, it will, you know, help speed up breeding, especially if you want to concentrate on a different trait. All right, thank you.